Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the all-new KBLU Radio Network. That's the Blue Raven Network. Visit our website at www.1blueraven.beebly.com.
FOJC Radio, where truth in the Word of God is found.
We declare that the kingdom of God is here.
Good morning, and welcome to FOJC Radio Church. Grab your Bible and your pens and your paper, and when two or three are gathered in His name, the Lord is right here with us. So thank you for joining us, and here's Brother David. Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death.
Lord, I see so much in me that I just can't get right. Things that weigh me down each day and steal my sleep at night. In your word I read about a peace I wish I felt. How can you forgive me when I can't forgive myself? It was enough, the blood that you shed. It was enough that you rose from the dead. It was enough to set me free. It was enough that you died for me. It hurts me so to see you struggle on, striving to be good enough till all your strength is gone. Worn out by the fear that you'll go just one sin too far. Bye.
Praise the Lord. It's a wonderful thing to worship the Lord. And that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to get right back to work because we got a lot of ground to cover. Psalm 135, I want to begin with verse 15. And worship changes you. Worship changes you. And you will become like what you worship. Let's read it in the Word of God, Psalm 135, beginning in verse 15. The idols of the heathen are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Neither is there any breath in their mouths. They that make them are like unto them. So is every one that trusteth in them. If you make an idol and trust in it, you will be like unto them. You will become like what you worship. Now, this is also laid down for us as a principle in the New Testament. Now, let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. You're going to love this. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, 18, and now the lights are going to really begin to come on. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image, from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. If we, what we worship, will change us to be like what we worship. And if you worship the Lord, you are changed into the image of the Lord. And if you worship the beast, you are changed into the image of the beast. Now, we're going to get some really clear, it's starting to come, just exactly what this image is. Now, let's go to Colossians chapter 3 and verse 10. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him which created him. The people of God are the image of the Lord. And the people of the beast, they are the image of the beast. We become the image of what we worship. Now also, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 27, we become the body of what we worship. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 27 says, "Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular." The followers of Jesus Christ are the image and the body of Christ, and the followers of the beast are the image and the body of the beast. There's the true church, and there's the harlot church. Now, I want to get very specific here. Now, my Bible is the King James, 1611, and my dictionary is the Webster's, 1828. And I want to bring out my Webster's 1828, and I want to read something that's very shocking. And I want to ask the question, what do all organized religious bodies have in common? whether it's Roman Catholic, Presbyterian, Assembly of God, whatever it is, Southern Baptist, what do they all have in common? And that thing that they have in common is that they are all government corporations. Now, I want to read from the dictionary, the Webster's 1828, what a corporation is. A body politic or corporate formed and authorized by law to act as a single person. A society having the capacity of transacting business as an individual. And a corporation lets the many act and do business as one. And they speak as one. And of course, you speak into the head of what you are incorporated into. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10, the Word of God says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, the doctrine of Christ, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." But when a group of people incorporate under the 501c3 law, they make an agreement not to speak against the government. They make other yellow dog contracts not to endorse a political candidate. And these become the head and the rulership over them. Now, I want everybody to listen very carefully to what I say and what I don't say, because there's a lot of fanaticism and error concerning this understanding, and we want to get it precisely biblically correct as much as is humanly possible, and we can. Now, I want to read on in the dictionary what it goes on to say, and this is just absolutely unbelievable. You can't make this stuff up. But this is what it says reading on in Webster's Dictionary. Corporations aggregate consist of two or more persons uniting in a society. What did Jesus say in Matthew 18:20? "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them." It is absolutely the opposite of what the church is. And that's what we're going to have. We are going to have a true church, and we are going to have a harlot church. Now, I don't want anyone to say, I want to go to Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. And I do not want anyone to say that I teach that everyone that goes into a 501c3 church is going to hell, or that every minister in a 501c3 church is going to hell. I don't believe that because it's not true. In Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and following, it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. That's what saves you. And there are many people out there that they don't know 501c3 from old Cooter's dog. And they are not going to be sent to hell when they're doing all that they know to do. And there are a few ministers out there. I could say there's a lot, but there's not a lot. But there are a few out there that I certainly believe they're trying to do the very best they can. But what should our attitude be toward the federal 501c3? And I want you to hear me, and hear me very good this morning. While we cannot blanketly put everyone in hell that's in the 501c3 and every preacher, this is why, and I want you to hear me this morning, churchgoers, this is why you need to get out of your 501c3 church and get out of it now. This is 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. If you are a born-again believer and you're out there in the American church world, there is almost a certainty that you are going to hear doctrines that are going to cause you to apostatize. These doctrines of apostasy, and they're just as rampant in the Protestant as in the Catholic. Rick Warren is doing everything he can to institute Chrislam, and he's on the Council of Foreign Relations, and I could go into detail on many, and I know I'm speaking to the choir this morning, but what apostasy is in 1 Timothy 4 and 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And people that are truly born again, if you eat at the table of apostasy, you will imbibe that which will cause you to apostatize from the true faith. The Lord is your shepherd, so do not drink out of dirty puddles. Go to the Lord. Go to the Word of God. Allow the Holy Spirit to take you back to the doctrine of Christ, and you will not fall if you stand in the true faith. Now, in Luke chapter 8 and verse 13, the words of Jesus, Luke chapter 8 and verse 13, the scripture says here, "They on the rock are they which when they hear receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away." The number of assemblies, and there are some, that teach how to live the Christian life are scarce as hen's teeth. There is almost, not totally, there is almost a universal ignorance of how to live the Christian life, how to deal with sin by faith in the cross. And just here in Evansville, which I can speak to, I know of one church in Evansville that speaks against the pagan holidays. That is a Messianic Jewish congregation. And there's other problems there, but God bless them for standing up for that. I don't know of a single assembly in Evansville that speaks out against Freemasonry. We are the third largest city in Indiana, and there's not a one, no, not one. I do not know of a single assembly in Evansville, Indiana, that teaches the correct way to overcome sin by faith in the cross. Now, I know of a few around the country that are 501c3s that do that, but it's very, very, very rare. And there's a mixture. You can't speak universally, but this is just almost a universal accepted rule. The darkness is deep and the darkness is wide, and the few exceptions to this are just extremely rare. Now, in Revelation chapter 18 and verse 4, we need to understand what's going to happen. We need to understand that beast number one is going to be one of the presidents of the United States, and beast number two will be one of the popes of Rome, and quite possibly one of our presidents that takes over the UN. But in Revelation chapter 18 and verse 4, "And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues." What happens if you don't come out? You're going to share in the sin. You're going to share in the plagues. Now, one of the first things that's going to happen When the shoe drops, when the bomb goes off and Isaiah 17 becomes a reality, the President of the United States is not going to take a vote, but to stop this further destruction by fundamentalist multicultural worship will be a law, and the 501c3 churches in the United States of America, they are going to be put under the Church of Rome in one fell swoop. And if you're a member of a 501c3 church, you are going to be one of the first ones that they will be knocking on your door to make sure that you are going to be going along with the program. And now, why in the world, there is no way that a person that understands and believes this would want to stay in that harlot image of the beast for 1 second. And actually, the 501c3 church is the foundation for the image of the beast. It is the people, but it is also the structure that is going to contain those people. And this is coming down, and it's not coming down over in Germany somewhere with Angela Merkel. It's coming down right here in the United States. We need to understand it, and it's at the door. Listen to the news every night. Barack Obama is reciting this like a mantra, and it's here. Now, I want to read Jeremiah chapter 5 and verse 31. So be clear. I want you to be clear and very clear and understand what I'm saying. While we cannot say that every person in a 501c3 is lost or every 501c3 preacher, what we can say is that now is the time to get out. And if people don't get this revelation and this understanding from the Word of God, now's the time to get out. The chances of losing your soul are very real, and they are very, very serious. In Jeremiah chapter 5 and verse 31, something that I hear a lot from people, they'll tell me, and I hear this a lot from Catholics, they'll say, well, I don't believe what the Catholic Church says, but I am called by God to stay in it and change it. No, you're not. I hear the same thing from other people that attend these non-Catholic churches that teach all of these dingbat, crazy doctrines of devils. They'll say, well, I just go there for fellowship. I don't believe that. I don't like it. Well, yes, you do like it, or you wouldn't be there. This is what the Word of God says in Jeremiah chapter 5 and verse 31. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means, and my people love to have it so. The reason why false prophets and priests can keep doing what they're doing is because people support them, and the reason why they support them is they like it. So don't give me this, I go there but I don't like it stuff. If you don't get out, you are going to share in their sin, and you are going to share in their judgment. There's no other way to read the Word of God. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, let's be very clear on what the Word of God teaches. The Word of God does not teach assimilation. The Word of God does not teach compromise. The Word of God teaches biblical separation. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning in verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers? For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And if you want to touch the unclean thing, he won't receive you. In verse 18, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. The Word of God is very clear that God's people are to separate themselves from paganism. And it's just very, very clear. Now let's go to Revelation chapter 13 and let's read verse 15 and let's get a deeper understanding of just exactly how this is going to happen. Revelation chapter 13 and verse 15 says this. Revelation 13:15. And he, speaking of the false prophet, had power to give life to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Now, this I'm going to show you. Let's go to Revelation chapter 9, verse 20 and 21. This is not talking about the actual statue doing the boogie-woogie. We've got some of that now. We've got weeping statues. We've even got on our website of one of the statues in Italy of the BVM doing the two-step. And we've had this for a long time, and we're going to have more of it, and it will increase. But that's not what this is talking about. In Revelation chapter 9, verse 20 and 21, the scripture says, and the rest of the men, which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the work of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. These personal idols that everyone has, that they make, their own little personal idol, the idol itself is not going to be moving, but this speaking is going to take place in the minds of those that worship the beast. Now, I want to explain to you expressly how this is going to take place. I want to read from a book called The Beautiful Side of Evil. It was written by a lady by the name of Joanna Michelson. For over a year, she was a personal assistant to a psychic surgeon in Mexico. And boy, if you've never read about psychic surgery, oh boy. But she was involved in what was called Silva Mind Control. And I'm going to use this as an example of how people are taught to receive their spirit guides. And this is exactly what we're talking about here. The speaking and talking of the image is going to take place in the mind of the followers of the beast. It's not like one wrong idea is that everybody goes to Third and Main and worships the image of the beast. No, everybody makes their own personal idol. And then it's not the idol that's going to speak, it's going to be in their mind. Revelation 9:20 says that thing can't walk, it can't talk. But here's an example of how Joanna Michelson received her spirit guide in Silva Mind Control. And they were told to create a laboratory by visualization in their mind. She said, the laboratory was a room of her own choosing, which we created in our minds. It was to be our haven and refuge, our place for solving problems. It could look any way we wanted. Some chose French provincial, others early American. My room was a cave. And after they created their laboratory, they were asked to choose who they wanted their counselor or spirit guide to be. She goes on, she says, there was no question at all in my mind who I wanted for my counselors. There was no higher source of wisdom to whom I could appeal than Jesus. So she asked Jesus to be her counselor. She goes on, she says, we were counted slowly down to our alpha level by Tom and entered now our fully established laboratory. We sat each in our chair, and by means of a control switch located on the arm, which was in their mind, slowly brought down the special door of our compartment to reveal little by little our counselors. And then there it was. Jesus appeared before her. And when you, here's another thing to remember, when you lower your alpha level, occult meditation through breathing techniques and emptying your mind, that's how occult meditation works. Christian meditation will focus your mind and make it active. That's how you tell the difference. But then she prayed. She said, oh Lord, I prayed, please reveal the counselors I'm truly meant to have. The chamber door began lowering, the radiance shining from behind it, but something was wrong. The hair was wild and matted, the forehead was covered with coarse fur, and the eyes were slanted. Fresh blood smeared the muzzle and oozed down long white fangs, and she saw revealed that her so-called counselor was not really Jesus at all, but it was some devil. And this is what the false prophet is going to do. He is going to cause each one of the followers of the beast to receive the beast as their spirit guide. And as they worship their own personal idol, the beast will speak to them and come alive in their minds. This is how the image of the beast specifically is going to come down, and this is going to lay the foundation for each and every person to make the image, to take the mark, and to worship and publicly confess that the beast is the true God, the dying God. And of course, this, contrary to what John MacArthur teaches, this will damn your soul for all eternity. This is why we need to understand right now what the image of the beast, and if you are in this 501c3 mess, you need to get out of it, and you need to get out of it now before it's everlastingly too late. And there will be some when the hammer comes down. There will be some in the 501c3 church that will fight against them, and God bless them for it, but it's going to be too late. The hammer is going to come down, and they're going to be knocking on their doors, and they're going to be coming after them. They're going to be the first ones to go down. Now, we are going to continue next week the Image of the Beast Part 2, because there's more things that we need to understand about this, and we need to take the time to fully understand the specific ramifications of how this is going to play out. But the people of God need not be fearful. We need not hang our heads. Jesus said, when these things begin to come to pass, look up, because your redemption draweth nigh. While the 501c3 church is in exactly the wrong position, we as the remnant of God, we are in exactly the right position. And God has positioned us to minister not only to the 501c3 church, but the lost. And this will be one of the greatest mission fields. When this begins to take place, there's going to be a great harvest and many souls that we're going to lead to the Lord out of these churches, because it's going to be mass chaos. And sad to say, most people are going to go along with it, and they are going to sell their soul literally for a bowl of porridge. Well, we're out of time this morning, and I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you, each and every one that's studies and prays and supports our ministry. We are in this thing to the end. We're not going to go anywhere till we get knocked out of here. And we're going to be here just as long as the Lord chooses. So we're going to close out with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your revelation of the Holy Spirit. Father, we do not receive these things in fear, but we receive them with the encouragement. Like you said in your word, we lift up our heads because we are excited that our soon coming King and our redemption draweth nigh. Father, bless each and every one of our listeners. Encourage us in the faith and bring us back together next week on FOJC Radio Church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. We'll see you next week.
Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. You're listening to FOJC Radio, where truth in the Word of God is found. Thank you for being a part of FOJC Radio Church. You can contact us at FOJC, Post Office Box 4174, Evansville, Indiana 47724-4174. Or you can call us at area code 812-473-3735. Or you can email us at lastdayschurch@cs.com. Or you can check out our website at www.ritualabusefree.org. That's all one word, ritualabusefree.org. That's RITUALABUSEFREE.org. And please remember to tune in next Sunday at 9 a.m. Central Time. Thanks and God bless.
You're listening to the all-new KBOU Radio Network. That's the Blue Raven Network. Visit our website at www.1blueraven.feebly.com. all-new KBOU Radio Network. That's the Blue Raven Network. Visit our website at www.1blueraven.feebly.com.
Often duplicated, never replicated. You're listening to the all-new KBLU Radio Network, Blue Raven Network.